Brian, happy May Day. We're recording this the 1st of May, dropping it May 3rd. I will dispense with other pleasantries. Cut to the chase. No preamble, no buildup. Simple and to the point.
You're not getting any closer.
I don't need to keep bobbing and weaving. I can get right to it because we've been waiting 4.5 months for me to ask you, Brian, how was your run today?
Peter, I woke up and my back hurt. Can I tell you about that?
Did you call it off?
It was a really weird thing. Like, I was getting dressed and I reached... You know what? I didn't even... I want to say I reached for a shirt off a hanger in my closet and my shoulder blade hurt. That really didn't happen like that. Like, I moved my arm and I said, oh, my left shoulder blade kind of hurts. What is that?
Sometimes I strain myself just buttoning my shirt.
I sprain
my fingertips.
I was a little self-sabotaging because I have been... I'm going to be honest with you right now. I'm going to give you a little bit of the confession. I've been a little nervous about today.
Why?
Well, you know, I want to tell you about this. I ran in the Alter G. Thanks to Brendan from Alter G.
Oh, right.
Who reached out and offered me a run on this thing. Can I tell you what this contraption is?
This is the submersible.
It looks like a submersible. It is a contraption that goes around a standard treadmill, invented by NASA, no kidding, and it's like a huge, very thick plastic bag, clear plastic bag that goes around basically the whole treadmill, especially the tread part. And it has a mechanical superstructure that rises up to envelop you, your lower half, in this plastic bag. And you wear these special neoprene shorts, sort of like scuba dive. If you had scuba diving shorts, that's what they're like. And then it has an enormous zipper that zips you into this bag. So through your shorts, get that, yeah, you are zipped into a giant bag that encases your treadmill.
So right? Not unlike a belaying harness.
Well, yes, it is. Well, let me tell you this. The area in which it encroaches is very much like your belaying
stuff
harness.
Stuff gets tight.
Yeah, it pulls you up by the shorts.
Yeah, the shorties.
Well, by the shorts. Literally the shorts.
Literally the shorts.
But so you look like, I want to say, you look like a centaur a little bit when you're
right,
in this
yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
Because your upper body, waist and above, is completely free and normal. And below, you've now become a treadmill, essentially.
Right, you're one with the treadmill.
With this giant plastic encasement.
But what it's doing is it's off...
Well, what it's doing is...
offsetting your weight, yes?
Yes, it uses air. The bag fills with air and lifts you up. And then you can adjust the percentage of your body weight that is being used to run.
That's science right there, man.
So I ran at 80% of my body weight for about 20 minutes, but we just did a little experiment. We brought me down to about 60% of my body weight.
Wow.
And I felt like, you know, Shalane Flanagan tearing down
the
road
at
100 miles an hour, or Des Linden, or pick any very small, very fit runner. It was wonderful. I could barely keep the fronts of my feet on the ground as I ran. It was great.
It's like moon running.
Better, because I've never run on the moon, and this actually happened.
Not yet.
Well, I mean, it is NASA. I guess maybe they're working. Maybe they have
coming.
A secret program for moon running. I don't know. But then we got down to 80% of my body weight, and it felt fine. No pain. It was great. I really
awesome.
Felt good. And at the very end, he cranked up the speed, and I got to like really run, like run fast.
Make it happen.
It was awesome. It was great. I was tired because I hadn't done anything like that in a while.
Sure.
You know, riding a bike and all the other things don't really compare. Nothing really compares to running for you know, 10, 20 minutes.
But that was not today. That was weeks ago.
No, but I wanted to give Brendan and Alter G a shout out because it gave me the taste of running.
It kept you in the fight.
Yeah. And... about 4 weeks later, here we are, 3 weeks
yeah,
later.
Right now, today.
I walk into Jillian's...
physical therapy lair?
Physical therapy facility.
Her chamber
no,
of...
No, I was not shamed at all.
Her chamber?
But I was a little sheepish because I didn't really know what was going to happen. You know, I've taken a few running steps here and there, you know, like literally steps. And it's been fine. It's not like I think my legs are going to fall off. It's not like I think I'm going to suddenly get a giant... pain in my hip where the
right.
injury has been repaired, but I have had a lot of sensation in that whole area.
We're not going to pull your leg off like a Steve Austin doll in 1976.
Don't do that. Or Stretch Armstrong.
Pop it right off.
Right, a Barbie doll. Why do Barbies always lose their...
Mego. You're going to snap your rubber band like a Mego.
I don't know what that is.
You know, the core rubber band that holds it all together.
That has a name called a Mego?
No, the Mego, the toys. Mego.
What?
The superhero and all the figures that you had as a kid were Migos with cloth costumes 8 inches high, made by the Mego Corporation.
Oh,
Mego.
I never had any of those.
Were you poor?
Do we really need to get into my past?
I'm just saying, everyone had one. They were $3.
I didn't.
You didn't have a Hulk. Everyone had the Hulk.
All right, I did have a Hulk.
Yeah, with the pink pants. Yeah. And if you pulled up his torso really hard, you could see a rubber band, a really specific kind of rubber band holding it. I'm saying that wouldn't have happened to you.
No, because I'm not a superhero toy, and I don't have a rubber band inside me.
You're not plastic?
Nope.
No, you had a small surgery done in December on your hip.
Well, yeah. In any case, but I have had sensations down there because I've been doing other things. I've been on the bike. I've been doing rubber band exercises. I've been doing stadiums. And as I continue and increase that activity, there have been, you know, muscle tightness. There's been soreness. There's even been pain that has been eerily reminiscent of the actual injury pain. And it was freaking me out, man.
Use issues. Ouch.
It was freaking me out. Like, did the surgery not do its job? Like, why should I be feeling anything? Like, this shouldn't be happening.
What's
like,
still all I've been there? Doing is
the good
there?
Stuff, and I haven't been doing any of the bad stuff. Right. So what's going on here? And I told all of this to Jillian.
Because you brought all this with you today.
And I didn't tell her about my shoulder blade, but everything else. And she was very good. She said, okay, well, get on the treadmill.
See, she's like that. See, she's like that. She takes all your feelings into an account.
She didn't roll her eyes.
She lets you speak.
She didn't tisk-tisk.
And then she pushes all that aside and just gets to what she has to get done for you.
So we did a couple of little exercises to get warmed up, and then I got right on the treadmill, and I actually did a lot more than I was expecting. We did two-minute running segments interspersed with a minute of walking. So I ran about a mile. I was running 10-minute pace. I was running 9:40 pace. It felt good. I mean, the last the last 2 minutes felt great. I was like, can I just do this for the rest of the session?
Sure.
This feels awesome. The beginning was, you know, warm up. So it took a while to get my heart and lungs and sweat glands activated. But once that was on, it felt good. I was like, yeah, I want to do this now. I'm no longer afraid.
And then what was her counsel on the other side of that? What does she suggest is next for you?
Well, she said to do this activity every other day. So 2 minutes on, 1 minute off for a total of five times. So 10 minutes of running, and then we'll see where we are next week. I mean, really, this is the test to see if there's any residual pain, if there's any residual issues. I think that what happens is, despite all of my concerns and poo-pooing the momentous occasion that this actually is, because I didn't want to hype it up for myself, you know, I didn't want to get too excited. I think it's actually a big turning point. I think what's going to happen is I'll probably run, you know, a couple more times this week, and then I'll see her next week. And we might be able to increase those running segments significantly, like up to 10 minutes.
Well, I think I speak for everyone listening to this show when I say to you, Brian, welcome back. It's been a long time coming.
Well, thank you. It's wonderful to run again. I really was astounded at how exciting and good it felt and how good I feel about myself having accomplished a full 10 minutes of running.
That's good because you look terrible. I got to tell
sweating.
You, I was
my,
worried. I my, wasn't sure what this
back
story was going to be.
Still hurts. I don't know what's going on
aged,
with my shoulder
you've
blade.
You've aged up.
No. I feel like I'm 20 years younger. My hair has gone from gray to dark brown. I lost 17 pounds.
And you gained 2 inches height.
It was
I don't
astounding.
Understand. It's amazing.
Astounding.
So 100% body weight. You ran. Did you feel all the body weight?
The first 2 2-minute sections,
yeah.
I was like, wow, oof. There's a lot going on. There's a lot more Brian than there used to be. Not so much jiggling, thankfully.
You know that saying, you can run anywhere, but you always bring you with you? You really do now, right?
All of me.
All of you.
But the future is bright, and I'm going to put on my shades.
Well, I'm so glad because hashtag rebuild Brian seems to be coming true.
Yeah, I didn't even bring my phone. I didn't do any pictures.
No, it's about it, like, this. It's about this. How do you feel about it?
This was a sacred moment.
I almost snuck down there and wanted to peek, but I know sometimes you want that privacy.
Yeah, I would have bit your head off.
You would have.
No,
would
I have, would have welcomed you with open arms.
That's not true. You would have thrown a dumbbell
said,
at me. You
please
would have,
join me on this treadmill, Peter.
Yes. Double tandem.
Get on my shoulders so I can feel 200%
like
body
pottery
weight.
Wheel, my arms around you, ghost style. No.
Let's make a vase.
How did you never have a Mego action figure?
I didn't have brothers. I think this happened when people had brothers.
I think that's right. Because I had an older brother who gave me G.I. Joe 12 inches, and that led into the Migos.
Right.
Yes, okay.
So I had friends who had brothers who had all those toys.
So you were aware of them.
Sure, of course.
Well, they're all rubber band based, just like you.
Yeah, well, that's right.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Brian, this came in while you were running. This is a note from our listener, David, I think is how you pronounce it. He's from Japan. He resides in Japan. Longtime listener, big-time runner. He wanted to know, really enjoyed A Guide to Tim Sullivan, liked that episode a lot. Who didn't?
I loved it.
I did too. But he felt maybe we didn't give enough of the what was it like Marathon Monday. And he's not wrong. We sort of avoided discussing it.
Well, we had a giant buildup because we had a great show with all of our guests.
So good.
We followed it up with Tim Sullivan and your run in Tulsa. And I have to be perfectly honest.
Go for it.
So much happened during that weekend, including the weather, which was the biggest story. And because know so many people who ran the marathon and we talked about it incessantly in our personal lives.
Correct.
In real life.
It was every conversation.
That when it came to actually recording, we felt like we had already been saturated as our winter gloves that we wore that day were with rain.
As every runner was saturated.
Oh, it was brutal.
However, we were together. We spent the whole day together.
We did.
Social media guru Anna Brooks was with us. Artist in residence Andrea Bonnie Gould.
That's right.
Was there. And we were at the top of the last big Heartbreak Hill.
Just before mile 21.
A whisper throw away from mile 21. We saw almost everybody we were trying to see, although it was very challenging visually to see people because people sometimes took a photo of their outfits but then had to make last-minute changes.
Yeah, where they were not always wearing what they said they were going to the night before. Some were wearing jackets.
Yeah.
Almost everybody was wearing hats.
It was unbelievably brutal, the amount of water that came out of the sky.
Here's the thing I have to say. It was mid-April.
Right in the middle.
I was wearing insulated L.L. Bean boots.
Yes, you were.
I was wearing jeans with 2-ply rain pants over them.
Yes.
I was wearing my ski jacket, a windbreaker, not a raincoat.
No.
Insulated ski jacket.
Yeah.
A waterproof insulated hat.
Yeah.
And winter gloves, like mittens.
Yeah.
And I was just barely staying warm.
Yeah, and I agree with all that. You were totally covered head to toe. I had ski pants on, which is rare for me.
Yeah, you did.
I had long johns underneath that. I had several running tech shirts on with like a sweatshirt over that, with like a giant winter coat over that, with a giant umbrella. I brought 3 pairs of gloves. I brought 2 pairs of socks. I should have brought 3 pairs of socks, turns out.
I need to tell you, we have these leather winter mittens. They're like leather, super insulated with a glove inside.
Yeah.
Very, very warm, very, very waterproof, except that day crushed them. It took one full week for them to dry out.
So gross.
But here's the observation I made at some point during that day. We're standing at the top of Heartbreak Hill.
Yeah.
We are facing the runners who are running from the west to the east.
Correct.
We're facing into their faces.
Yes.
The rain and wind bashing at our backs.
Yeah.
Do you know what we didn't have to contend with?
In our faces?
The rain in our faces.
Because coming uphill?
We are looking at the runners coming right. toward us. Every time I would turn around.
That's right.
Just for a second.
Just for a moment.
I thought, how is anyone running this race? I'm covered in head to toe in waterproof insulated gear.
Yes.
And this is really unpleasant to be yes. standing here with this rain pelting me in the face.
Yes.
Then every once in a while, those deluges would come. Like it would get a little bit lighter, and then it would come on heavier than you think it can possibly rain
without it was crazy.
Being in an ocean.
And we would keep going in and out in yeah. shifts of like half an hour at a time, 20 minutes at a time.
Yeah, full disclosure, we did not stand outside for 6 hours.
But I would say we were outside for a good full 2 hours in total.
Yeah.
Because we went out multiple times. And again, we were relatively lucky in seeing our people, which is always great.
Well, we were tracking everybody. And when we would see they were coming within 15 minutes, we'd be out there. And then usually they were followed by one or two or three more people. So
right.
we would do these shifts of 20 minutes or so. Or
but it was
half an hour.
Brutal. And, you know, we often talk about our first marathon being 2015, and that wasn't pleasant because it rained so much and it was so windy. No, sorry.
No comparison.
Piece of cake.
Yep.
This was so much worse.
Yeah.
And it was so, I thought we were fortunate we could go inside and watch some of it on TV and actually catch, because when we saw Dez go by us.
She was in third
place. She was in third place.
Yeah.
And, but she looked like she was putting the hammer down, and she sure, by the time we went inside, she sure had, because she went to from third to first.
That's right. And then by a lot.
History. Boom. Done.
Yeah. Fantastic win by her.
Great.
By strong
everybody.
Run by others,
everybody.
Too. You know, obviously, Shalane had the buildup and the story behind her, but it wasn't her day, and that's okay. I mean, Dez came in and won. Fantastic.
I will say, as awful as it was, I think I want to do it again next year.
Yeah, I think I want to do it again next year as well.
So there's that.
And do you know why? It wasn't watching it.
No.
Just watching it, I thought,
yeah.
my goodness, I'm glad I'm not out
yes.
there.
Yes.
It was talking with everybody in the days and the week afterwards.
That's right.
Almost everybody who said, yeah, the weather was awful, but I ran the marathon.
But I ran the marathon.
And I made it. And, you know, I noticed it was bad here or it was really bad there, but, you know, I did it. Even people who went to the medical tent during the race
right.
were still saying, oh, yeah, I'm glad I did it. I mean, that's how rigorous the training is for that race. And some people, like Fast Funny Ellen London, were completely unaffected by the weather. I mean, it
crushed.
May have affected their times, you know, like they were a little slower than they would have been on perfect conditions. But in terms of, like, destroying the course and not looking the worse for wear at the other side of it.
Yeah.
There were a lot of strong runners out there, man.
Oh, it was inspiring in a whole other way than any other time that I've watched it. Yeah, and again, I think try to get back into that fight soon. Now,
so are we verbaling?
No. I mean,
we're not verbaling.
Careful, because
yeah.
fundraising's still a pain.
I think we're saying we would love to do this
I'm
next
saying
year. We'd love to find an opportunity
in some way
to run the Boston Marathon
to
next
run
year.
The Boston Marathon next year in 2019. Before we leave this topic, because I know we have one last interview that was recorded that marathon weekend that we want to get to, before we do that.
Yes.
So that day, Marathon Monday, leaving you after being hanging out for 6 hours or so.
Yes.
Give or take. Boy, it must have been close to 4:35 o'clock in the afternoon. Headed down the hill, the backside of the hill, now down BC into down Comm Ave.
You were ready to walk home.
I was ready to walk
in
home.
In the rain.
Had to get, I quickly got across the course easily because there was hardly any runners left. In fact, as I was leaving, they were starting to take the barricades down.
Sure.
So that's how late in the day it is. It is gross.
Yeah.
And I mean that in the sense the rain is gross. The temperature was gross. It got a little bit warmer.
Yeah,
but not much. So everything was heavy and soaked.
And how is the debris along the course sidelines?
It's astounding.
Yeah.
It is goo packets. It is socks. It is like arm sleeves. It's hats. It's
so many cups.
So many cups. But I was amazed at the paraphernalia, like real running paraphernalia, like water bottles, some belts, some many, many gloves, many, many hats. People just must have decided, nope.
Too wet, too heavy, I'm getting chafed.
Yeah.
And saw they got rid of them.
Saw some jackets.
And then I'm sure 20 minutes later they thought, oh, I really wish I had that.
I wish I had held on to that.
Yeah, I wish I had those gloves now.
I'm telling you all this because I wanted you to know that right after I got down the first hill and I was stopping because there was a forklift backing up, grabbing the barricades, I stopped for a second. I looked behind me and they were opening up the road now back to cars. So if there were any more runners coming, they're going to have to do a mixed bag of side road and sidewalk.
They're on their own.
And I look behind me and I see a runner coming and they're, you know, in their gear, but they also have a clear poncho over their head and they're not really running. They're kind of walking. They're on the struggle bus a little bit, right? So I decide to wait and I know they're going to be going the direction I'm going towards my
Everyone's T-stop. Headed east.
Everyone's headed down and over into Brookline. So I start walking with this person and I introduce myself and I say, how's it going? And she tells me that her name is, it's pronounced Eon, but it's spelled like the currency in Japan, yen, Y-E-N, but it's Eon. And she's Vietnamese. She's from Ho Chi Minh City. And
So traveled to Boston.
She got on a plane and flew literally around the earth.
Okay, so she's Vietnamese, as in she lives in Vietnam.
She lives in Ho Chi Minh City.
To run the race.
She's late 40s.
Okay.
And
tried and true marathoner?
No. First timer.
Oh.
Decided that she wanted to do Boston. Yeah. She wants to do all the majors, but wanted to start with Boston.
So flew halfway around the world.
Yes.
To this weather, this race this year.
Yes, and I said, okay, so Vietnam, it does rain in Vietnam, so you're used to rain. She said, yeah, not like this, not this temperature.
Right. Because
it's tropical. Yeah, so
sure,
it's,
of course.
It does, you know, monsoons happen, but it's not like this. In fact, she said, the day before, on Sunday, she said, I saw snow for the first time in my life.
Yeah, that was a rude event as well. It was so beautiful on Saturday for the 5K. Sunday, it snowed.
Yes.
And Monday, day of race, we got the storm of storms.
Okay, but see it from her perspective. She flew around the world to do her first marathon and caught her first snow.
So that's cool.
That's for her, it's excellent. Yeah. For her, the whole thing was cool. And I
I mean, what was her attitude? You're talking to her. She's probably 4+ hours into her race.
Easily.
She's walking, which has to be a bit of a disappointment, I'm sure.
The hills were killing her. I mean, it was tough, you know.
But what was her attitude and what did you guys talk about?
She was great. Her attitude was great. She just felt so sort of honored to be in this race and to be doing it. And yeah, the weather was not great, but it didn't seem to be bringing her down in any way.
Wow.
And I had told her, because I felt it was important to say that I had sort of understood where she was in the sense that I'd run it in 2015 and then again last year. So she said, oh, you've done it twice. That's great. And I said, yeah, but none of it's been like this. This is historically awful. And she goes, no, I really am happy. And she was going to try to meet up with someone in the next day or two after in New Hampshire, but she didn't have anybody. She wasn't going to finish and then go celebrate. Like, she had nobody. She came here by herself. She just decided to do this.
Wow.
And I was kind of blown away by it. And I said, wait a minute. So you just are going to go ahead and do all... She said, yeah, I'm doing this one. And then I want to do Tokyo and I want to do Berlin and I want to do London. And I just think it'd be great to do all of these majors.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Two questions, actually.
Yeah.
Which you may or may not know the answer to, because it may not have occurred to you at the moment to ask them of this person.
Yeah.
One. Did she qualify, or was she a charity runner, or is there some special grouping for people who just decide to do the majors and fly from another country?
Great question. Don't know.
Okay.
Because if she was charity, I didn't see what her charity was.
Okay. Next question.
Go ahead.
She wasn't a marathon runner?
She trained. She did train.
Yeah.
But no, this was her first big race.
Astounding.
Yeah, and relatively, like, started a year before, had decided, you know, again, like late 40s, maybe turning 50.
Okay, well, it sounds like she's doing it right, you know, in terms of a long-term training plan.
Yeah.
And hey, kudos. That's fantastic. That's a great story.
But is definitely used to running in a tropical environment. Right. I mean, Ho Chi Minh City, had been born in Hanoi. She told me that,
yes.
Which was, I thought was fascinating. But because of the bombings, her family and she moved to Ho Chi Minh City when she was very young.
Right. So she was born right smack dab in the middle
of the war. Yep.
Wow.
And I really made me think for a minute about the perspective of all of that. Like, she grew up in this crazy, insane time.
Yes.
Her world that she inhabits now is so radically different from when she was a little kid.
Yeah.
And now she's choosing to do something else totally radical, and she's now gone to a place that's she's never been to before. She'd never been to the U.S., and she was going to go to New York after this and do a couple other things. And she wants to see the rest of the... And I just thought, oh my God, like... Well, yeah, of course, like, everything's totally different. 40 years later, like, everything's different. Sure. And why not? And how great is that? How great is that she just can do the Boston Marathon and just be like, yeah, I'm going to do this?
Well...
It's mind-blowing.
It is mind-blowing, and that's the dream, right?
Right.
Shouldn't we all be friends?
Of course. No, of course.
Shouldn't you be able to go to any country and run a race there and come home safely?
Right. That's the thing. So, I mean, I was so happy to have walked. I walked, like, I think over a full mile with
her. Wow.
And she said she was so nice, and she thanked me. She said, thank you. I think you helped my pace and you took my mind off the pain, she said.
Oh,
God. And I was like, you'll be okay. I said, you're going to, when we turn here onto Beacon Street, it's pretty much a straight shot.
Yeah, not true.
Well, it is, though. There's
some hills.
But it's the same road.
That's true.
It's all the way down to Hereford.
Well, you're in the chute where you're still going to have the most boisterous fans.
Hopefully, because it was getting lean there. I mean, there was nobody else out. I mean, it was starting to get later. But I did check the stats. She totally made it.
Great.
She totally finished.
Great.
Hopefully,
this will be the worst weather she encounters for all of her runs.
Yeah, and I hope so. It was amazing.
It's amazing.
It was so.
I'm so glad you had that opportunity.
But like, I never would have met that person.
Right.
Do you see what I mean?
Were you able to give her a tech shirt?
I didn't give her a tech shirt, but I did get her a one of our this year's wristbands that we had.
Okay.
So I don't know if she even understood
that.
What I was saying. That I told her I was a podcaster, but she I mean, she was probably worried about like not falling down because it was so awful out.
Right.
But it was a good. It was a great experience. I'm so. The marathon's always amazing for that, and people are incredible, and it was inspiring. That's all I'm going to say. So yeah, 2019, Brian. Figure it out.
Peter.
Yeah.
I have a little interview to share with you.
I want it.
Okay, so during that marathon weekend.
Yes.
The artist in residence, Andrea Bonnegould, encouraged me to come and interview Marnie Kuntz. Do you know who that is?
I want to say Run Street.
Yes. The organization Run Street, she is the founder of it. And it is based on running and art, going to different cities. I think it began mostly in New York, but
yeah.
She's done them in multiple other cities. And going around and looking at the public art in a city, you know, in a very decent paced 5K that is available for most runners, a speed that's available for most runners, very well organized. And I have to say, she has a great sponsorship by different organizations, but this one was sponsored by Clif Bar. But I couldn't believe how many people were there and how well supported they were. I mean, with swag, and there was an after party and all this kind of stuff. So what Marnie does is present an opportunity to run through your city or a city that you're visiting in, and she's doing an event and see and point out and talk about the artwork that decorates your city while getting a run in.
Well, that's terrific. Can we hear that now?
Let's go to it. So I'm here with Marnie, the founder of Run Street, and you just had a successful, despite the weather, despite a little bit of snow out there in Boston and really cold temperatures, you had a packed house. Can you tell us a little about this run, and then we'll get into what Run Street is? What did you do this morning?
This morning we were really excited. We had a Boston Marathon shakeout art run with Clif Bar. And we had a lot of people come out who are running the Boston Marathon for a shakeout. We did a running tour. It was about a 5K tour of Boston's murals and street art, and we saw a lot of really great works.
Yeah, so when someone comes to a Run Street Run, what should they expect?
They should expect to do like a 10-minute fun run pace, and we stop for photos. We also do a photo contest. It's very interactive and fun. It's like a light, fun environment. So it's good for beginning runners. It's good for any runner who just wants to do something different and also learn about their neighborhood. Because I had people today who say they live in Boston. They didn't know about these areas with the art and they want to come back now. But I would just expect to have fun. And as long as you can run, you know, 3 miles, then you'll be good. Because we have pacers. So it's all different paces, but it's not a race. So.
And do you point out the art and talk a little bit about it, or how does it work?
Yeah, I talk about the murals and the artists so people learn about local artists, and then there's international artists sometimes on the route and people who come in from other cities, and then it also interacts kind of with the community because a lot of the art reflects issues or history of the community. So it's a great way to learn about different neighborhoods. Like today we learned about Chinatown and some of the stories there that were being told through art. So I think it's a fun way for people to learn about their city or a new city that they're visiting.
How do you scout out? Because you're from New York, right?
Right.
So how do you come to a city and scout out? How long does that take? Do you talk to other people?
I do, yeah. I talk to people, and then I also look up a lot. I find a lot through Instagram and just following a lot of artists, or I might know like artists in New York who recommend ones in Boston. And then after a while, it kind of builds a network, and then also runners who tell me about art, or they tag me in their photos. And then I try to keep up with different news of what's going on in the street art world, like big new projects or things.
Have you had any artists join you for a run before?
We have, yeah. We had a run with Luna Bar, and Renee XORS. She joined us, and it was like a women's art run, and that was in Manhattan in New York, and it was really fun, and we also featured her work. We feature a lot of artists by hiring them to do the shirt designs for the run. We have like a different art run shirt for each special event, especially for the bigger events. And then we've had some other artists join us on runs too, and some that are in training, they say they want to join us.
All right. Well, I have to admit, this was a lot bigger than I expected. I'm injured, so I didn't join you for the run, but Andrea had me come afterwards, and I was expecting, you know, maybe half a dozen runners and then some other people who are really into art or into graffiti art and aren't necessarily runners and who are here to join. There are like dozens and dozens and dozens of people here, and there's all kind of swag, and Cliff Bar is hosting. Like, how did it become this? How did it start, and how did it become as big as it is?
Yeah, that's a good question. It started just with, I was doing a running blog, and then I had started a running group, and I was posting art that I found on my Instagram. So I have always done a lot of social media, and I was in Brooklyn moving around different parts and seeing a lot of art, and people would ask me where I found it. And then I thought, well, I should take my running group and just open it to anyone and do an art run. And we did our first one at the Brooklyn Running Company in Williamsburg. That was over 3 years ago. And even for the first one, we had like 30 people came out. And so it seemed like there was a big interest. And then people love getting cool photos too, and learning about the art, and it's like a good, it's like good vibes. Like people are happy, and they meet new people, and then Cliff Bar, they kind of found me and asked me to do an event for them last year, and then since then we've done several other events and gone to different cities with them, and we've gone to cities with other groups too. We did a run for Reebok in Chicago. And we did Saucony art run before the Chicago Marathon. And then, yeah, it's been really great. It's been exciting to work with different brands. And we did one with Lululemon in New York. And we're hoping to just keep growing and keep kind of building our team so we can have more people who can help out and be a part of it.
Was this a plan to expand like this and get bigger, or are you surprised about how it's growing?
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised. I was surprised, and then I always like kind of wanted to do my own business and things, and it kind of turned into its own little like business. And it's been a lot, and it's been really fun, and also things I didn't expect, like event planning and posting and marketing and designing flyers and different things. So we have our creative team who helps out with that, and our photographer, he does a lot of our design, and then the videos, and videos help promote the run. So it's become big, and I also think I just didn't know how big Instagram would be, because it got bigger, and I think it became more popular for people to find things to do through Instagram, and so that's helped us grow too.
And describe one of the pieces of art that you saw on your run today in Boston.
There's a lot that I really like. There was one in Dewey Square, and it's by an artist from Iran, and it's about hope, and it's like kind of the surreal. It's a huge mural that it looks like these shadowy characters are kind of like in this maze working away, and they have these red balloons that are supposed to symbolize hope, and it's kind of about finding hope in like bleak situations. And I thought learning about the mural was interesting, and it's also a very stunning mural to look at. It's like towers over the square, so when you're far away you can see it from blocks away. I also liked at the Underground Ink Block, there's one who is from Brooklyn, who did a love mural, and he worked with, back in the day, he worked with Basquiat and Keith Haring, and it was cool to see he brought back kind of the old style lettering of graffiti, and people really like that one and do a lot of fun creative love poses. And it was a lot of great art today.
So I wonder how much of what you are taking a tour of are murals maybe paid for by the city or by a business or something like that, and how much of it is graffiti, which is just unsanctioned graffiti that's under a bridge or something like this, a combination?
Yeah, that's a good question. It is a combination. Pretty much all of it that we saw today and most of our big tours are like legal street art that's commissioned. So today, the big one, the Hope mural that I was talking about, that one was commissioned by the Rose Kennedy Greenway. And so that's a public art project. And then the other one was a private project that was, this artist started it, a local artist started it, and it's like a collaboration at Ink Block at Underground, and they got sponsors with Reebok and an area, I think it's a real estate company in the area that also sponsors it. And a lot of, that's also not uncommon, is real estate companies commissioning stuff, and it makes the value go up of things in the area, or they do it as like a beautification project. So there's like that in Miami too with Wynwood Walls that was started by a real estate company, and it's grown to be huge, and the whole value of the area has gone up.
Well, and good for the real estate company,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Okay. So self-serving public art as self-serving business tool. That's smart. That's good.
Yeah.
How many times has someone said, well, I live here, but I've never even seen this mural?
I would say every time we go on an art run, at least one person says that. So.
And where have you wound up doing an art run that was the most surprising to you? Starting off in New York City, where of course there's tons of art and you could run probably every day a 5K and see different art. But around the country, where has been the most interesting or surprising?
That's a good question. I think Boston was a little surprising. I didn't know there was that much art here. And also we did Atlanta, and I didn't know how much art was there. I actually lived in Atlanta a long time ago. I was a reporter there, and they didn't have a lot of street art, but in the last like 10 years, a whole bunch of street art has come up. So there was lots of murals there. So that was kind of surprising.
And do you lead every art run?
Yeah, pretty much. I think I have, I think I have led every art run.
Wow. Were you an artist first or a runner first?
I was a runner, but I was also, I was never like a formal artist. I always liked art and drawing, and I was more of a writer. So as a kid, I grew up writing books and like poems and stuff, and then drawing things. But I think I was always a writer and a runner.
Where do you see the art runs going?
I would love to do more big events like this in different cities and have like regular events where, and maybe we have other people leading them too. And then I would love to also do international runs. So like London, Spain, France, and Brazil. There's so many places that have great murals.
What is special about the community of people that come and join you for these runs?
I think it's really great community because it's people that, it's a big cross-section of people, and a lot of them, they want to do something different, and they're interested in art, some more than others. Like, some have formal art backgrounds, some don't, and some learn things that they had no idea about. I think even like both groups, whether they know a lot about art or not, a lot of times they don't know a lot about specifically the street art scene and the murals. So that's been unique. And also I think it's just fun. Like, we get runners of all abilities, but it's a time where it's, we can relax and be not competitive and just, like, you know, joke around and do funny pictures and interact with the art and be creative.
So if I want to know more, if I want to know another city you're coming to, if I'm going to a race and I want to find out if there's a Run Street Shakeout Art Run, how do I find out more info?
You can go to runstreet.com and we post all our events there.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Brian, I am sad now that I wasn't there, and I'm awed in your ability to do all the things without me. And it makes me wonder, now that you're running and you're back to it, full tilt boogie, as it were, am I done?
Peter, I'm running 2 minutes at a time.
Right.
I can't even catch up with you.
But that was a terrific interview, man, and she's great.
Can I tell you the funny thing that I didn't find out till much later?
Yeah, no, go ahead.
So Andrea was one of the sweepers for that art run, meaning she ran behind. And remember, this was the Sunday of the Boston Marathon weekend where it got very cold and actually snowed,
right,
in Boston.
Snow that day,
like,
yeah.
Come on.
If you're from Vietnam, you're like, wait, I'm seeing snow for the first time.
And if you're anybody else, you're like, isn't it supposed to be 65 and
this
gorgeous?
Is ridiculous.
Like it was yesterday?
Yes.
So she's running, and apparently there's one guy who's sort of like really in the back and really, I don't know if he was struggling, but he was certainly running very slowly. And,
yeah.
And Andrew's like, I'm sweeping up, so I'm just kind of
making,
you know,
sure,
making
you're all right.
Sure you're all right if you're going to make it, you know, because it
there.
Seems like you're pretty slow. So that was, she didn't realize until much later, that
yeah.
was famed ultra runner Scott Jurek.
What was his problem?
I don't know. I guess he was just kind of cruising along. He famously ran the Appalachian Trail in, you know, like some amazing time a couple of summers ago. And yeah.
Was he walking?
Yeah, I don't know what he was doing, but Andrew was like, hey, buddy, come on. You ever run
before?
Along. Let's go. Move along. Move along. We have an art run to do here. We have to talk about public murals.
That's hilarious.
It is hilarious. Missed opportunity for an interview, but I'm not sure I would have recognized him. That's a thing about most runners. They
yeah.
just look like normal people.
Well,
you know, unless you've met them and
talked
to them.
Incredibly fit normal people.
Well,
but yeah.
yeah, but you know, if you're all dressed up because it's snowy outside, you're not even going to know that. You know, movie stars, when you see them in a restaurant, say,
yes.
or you bump into them in your hometown, how often does that happen? Never.
Right.
But if you're like out in Los Angeles and you see a movie star in a Starbucks.
Yes.
You know it's them because their face is 30 feet high on the movie
sure.
screen, and you know it's them.
But if you're walking down the street and you bump into Mike Wardian, you're just saying, hey, guy, how are you?
Yeah.
Nice
and
beard.
Unless he's wearing his hat that says, like, let's go, Mike, or something like
yeah.
that, you might not recognize him. Now, we would because we've met him personally several times and
yes.
spent some time with him.
Yes.
But Scott Jurek, I could sit next to him on the subway and never even know it's him.
And you really don't expect him to be the last one in.
No, you wouldn't
right?
think that he would be,
needing up front.
Encouragement
yeah.
to keep up with the pack.
So, Brian, that was a great interview, but we have another interview next week. I dare say a historic one.
Well, it certainly is. It's our Mother's Day show, and why don't you tell everybody why this is special for Mother's Day?
Well, Brian, we thought, hey, Mother's Day, why not have the biggest mother runner there is.
Not just another mother runner.
No, not just another. Maybe the first.
How about the founder of another mother runner?
Yes. Sarah Bowen Shea, co-creator of Another Mother Runner, and she makes fun of the way I say it, which is great in the interview, will be joining us for a special Mother's Day show. So you do not want to miss next week's show.
Certainly not. What a great sport to go toe-to-toe with us. And
she
really had a lot of fun.
We had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So that's coming. There's some updates quickly before we go.
Please.
As you know, we're getting closer and closer now that it's May to the Boilermaker 15K.
Oh, Utica, Utica. That's where I need to be. Oh, Utica, Utica. That's where I need to be. The Boilermaker 15. You know that's the race for me.
Because everyone has demanded it, as of the day this posts, Thursday, May 3rd, you can go on to Custom Inc.
Oh my goodness.
We will include the link on our website and in the show notes. And you can order yourself, if you are going to be doing this race, even if you're not going to be doing this race, but just want the amazing art designed by artist in residence Andrea Bonnie Gould, you can get yourself the very intense and awesome How Is Your Run Today? Boilermaker 15 singlet, running singlet. Two pieces of art on it, front and back, Brian.
Peter, I have seen the art.
It's amazing.
Because it was done in my house.
Right.
I want the shirt, but you said whether you run the race or not, but I beg of you, sir.
Yeah.
Tell me, what is the ruling here? Because we don't wear shirts from races we didn't run. We don't wear our Boston Marathon jackets before we run the Boston Marathon.
I know.
However, this is like, isn't it like buying a concert album of a concert you didn't go to? I mean, how many people go to the concert that the concert album was recorded at? This is just a commemorative t-shirt.
It's a commemorative event that happened. It's a commemorative singlet.
I want to own this. And
here's my thing. Here's where I fall on this.
Please.
I'm going to buy one.
Well, you're going to run it.
Because I'm going to run it.
Yeah. And you're going to run in it.
I'm literally going to run the race in it.
Right.
I would hope
that
anybody who considers themselves a Hawartian, who is also going to be going out to Utica for the race, also likes it enough to buy it and wear it for said race.
Okay, this makes sense.
Just from the picture standpoint, like we could all gather and get a picture, you know, if there were 15 or 20 of us, wouldn't that be amazing?
Genius, and I think that's all true, but sir, I will not be in Utica, New York, nor will I be running anything close to a 15K, but
no,
I want this shirt.
But you're a fan of the show.
Yes.
And you want to help support the show just by getting the name out there.
Yes.
Because I want to make it clear, when you buy these things on Custom Inc., we're actually not making any money on
this. You're not helping the show.
No,
you are helping the shirts.
You're helping the shirts.
You're helping getting yourself a shirt.
And you're helping yourself.
But there's
the only way to help the show is to wear the shirt. So if you buy the singlet, yeah, actually, you have to wear it. You have to, because people will see the big How He's Run Today logo on the back and say, oh, it's a thing. Okay.
See, I want to wear it, but I'm not running the race.
No, I say this is a special dispensation. It's open for everyone. Do it.
With your blessing, I shall purchase one and wear it proudly.
Well, I hope that's true. And I hope that's true for everyone who's interested. Please do.
Thank you.
Hey. Improbably, this has been episode 129 of How Is Your Run Today.
That's a lot of episodes.
With the now running Brian Gould.
Hey!
And the still running Peter Villa.
Oh.
Music, including that special Utica song, is done by composer Jeff Cronenberg. Anna Brooks is our social media guru. Andrea Bonnie Gould made a killer singlet and is the artist in residence.
If you want any information, for example, how to buy one of those Utica Boilermaker 15K singlets from Custom Inc., if you want to find out about Following the Scent with Vinny Scent, if you want to watch the video that Tim Sullivan made of Peter and he running the 5K together, or the Millinocket movie,
or if you want more information about Run Street,
go to our website, hwyrt.com.
Also, I've said it before, I'm going to say it again, because it's working when I say it. Put this podcast down, pick up Strava, and join our running group.
And then go to iTunes and give us a positive review and rating.
Well, that's really important too.
It's very important.
Please do that.
What should people do on Saturdays, Peter?
Well, on all the social medias like Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, we do a little thing called Sat Stat Chat. And I'd like you to tell us where you ran. how the weather was, and if possible, include a sweet, sweet photo, preferably in a sweet, sweet tech shirt or a sweet, sweet singlet.
I've been seeing a lot of them.
That's happening.
Jaybird Runs gave us one.
Oh, it's so good.
Amanda Nurse gave us one. And so many other people are wearing those sweet, sweet tech shirts. I love it.
Not just Michael Goff. Although he does. He's so awesome.
You know, Michael Goff is a huge part of next week's show.
I can't. Michael, are you ready? You need a week to start doing deep breath exercises, Michael. Because your name gets dropped a lot.
Peter.
What?
Have a great run today.
Dude, I will. I got a sweet four coming up in the afternoon. I'm very excited for it. Because you know I'm following a half marathon training program. I'm doing that.
Yeah.
So that I'm especially strong for the 15K.
You know, this guy can't play the timbala drums forever, Peter. We need to stop the credits.
What? He gets paid per beat. He's psyched. The handwriting is, what the hell is all that? It was secretly a shout out to his birthday, but even Paul Davies wears the tech shirt when he's giving a birthday shout out to his youngest son, Kiernan. It was very subtle though, but a lot of people saw it.
Bad bone.
Turn on your hot lights.